Now, if you will please turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4:7-19. 1 John 4:7-19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who knows love is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Blessed is the hearing and the reading of his word. My being scatterbrained this morning is not a surprise to me. As I said, I've had the dark one in my head all week long. But one of the big questions that came up out of the blue was, what is love? How do we define love? But beyond that, where does love come from? I don't think we think about that at all. We are so used to certain things in our world. We know there is love in the world with both the churched and the unchurched. And questions keep coming up. Are we born with love? Is it something that comes to us naturally? How do we define and recognize what love is? And I keep going back to some of the things I've heard throughout my life, and there are people that will actually tell you that science says, and we already know how much respect I have for some of the scientific experts out there, but they will tell you that love is a series of reflexes and brain synapses and endorphins and things triggered in your brain, and that's what love is. And I really feel so sorry for these people because they haven't got a clue. Does our love for one another just happen to be a chemical reaction within our bodies? Because chemical reactions don't last very long, and they can go away at a trigger, which means my love for my wife, my love for the people around me are transient. And I don't buy that in the least. And we talk about love constantly if you think about it. And that word has so many different meanings. We use it to speak in different terms, which is why I ask the young people, because they're incredibly honest in their answers. We think about affection for other people, people that are close to us, family, special people, church family, our pets, those material things in our lives. There are things we love in our lives, foods, coffee, places we like to visit, places we like to go, things we like to do, and we say, I just love that so much. In fact, I think the word love gets tossed around so much, it gets so diluted that we lose the true meaning of what love is. Saying I love you to both God and to those around us sometimes becomes mere repetition. It's something that we are expected to say to one another. You expect to tell your kids I love you, or your wife or your husband, I love you. You can sometimes just get so used to saying I love you, Lord, that it becomes habit more than actually thinking about what you're saying. Now, 1 John, if you go through the whole letter, talks about love and God's love specifically. And chapter 4 here explores where love actually originates from. And theologically, these are some of the most wonderful verses in the entire Bible when it comes to talking about God, because as you go through it, it makes one thing perfectly clear. All love comes from God Himself. Now, as I was saying before, when people talk about love, you automatically go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm not going to talk about that here because that's going to be my Valentine's Day message. Yeah, I'll get in trouble then. But Corinthians reading is love between people. And it defines what love between people should be like. It doesn't really talk about God's love. But I also find it interesting, if you go back to the first 6 verses of chapter 4 here, the first thing you run into is a call by John to reflect everything you hear in light of the Spirit. Test what you hear spiritually. And again, I preached about that before. The need to do this is because don't believe everything I say, just right off the cuff. One of the biggest problems I've ever had was, well, the pastor said it, it's got to be right. Pastors are human. We make mistakes. I know that's a shock. But you also have people out of there that are speaking out of ignorance. You have people out there that quote from the Bible that are quoting and talking about God for their own convenience, their own pleasure, or their own means, so they can profit it, not from you. But then you get to verse 7, and all of a sudden there's a change that quick. We go from one topic very abruptly to another, and we start to speak about God and love. And he starts out, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Now think about that for a minute. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now that can be confusing because you all know people that are unchurched that love. They have love in their hearts. They love people, they love their pets, they love everything I mentioned above plus more. But they're missing out on the true love. And a little bit earlier in John 3:1, we're told, 1 John 3:1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we could be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him." We are given the title children of God because of the love that God himself gives us. It's this gift that leads us to what each Christian should be. The one who loves one another and makes this love the way that we have been given the love and make it the very center of our entire being. It's not all those other things we talked about. It's the love of God instead of the focus being on the love of family and friends. But you see, the love that we talk about is not the same love that we find in the world. Our love should be centered on the Father and the Son. And as we love the Father and Son and we focus on that, it should be reflected in the way we love one another. Because God love in our life is so important and it's such a necessary part of our lives. Christ in John 13:34 tells us, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another." And that particular statement is so important to Christ that he tells us later on in 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And it's this different. Our love of God, our love of Christ, and our love for one another in Christ is what separates us from non-believers. In fact, in verse 8, John warns us, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this statement, we're called to take a look at how we love and what we love and who we love in a completely different light. We're not only called to love one another, which in a worldly sense can mean different things, but we are called to love one another as God loved us. And if we don't love each other, if we don't love all the people around us, we don't have true love in our hearts. And we don't know God at all. Again, because God is love. Now, again, I've said this over and over again. You're going to hear it a lot. Please notice that I said God is love. Not that God is loving. To say that God is loving speaks to nothing more than God having a loving disposition that can be misconstrued as God's love being no more than an emotional state. But when we say that God is love, what we are saying that God's entire essence is love itself. It's who God is. It's what at the core of his entire being, the reason he brought us into being, into life, and the reason we are still here. That God created love and all love comes from God should be immediately recognized and should never be disputed. Human beings cannot on their own ever create love. And if you look at sometimes at our natural reaction to things, somebody hurts us, it is an immediate attack. It's to do damage back to the person that is hurting you, which is just the opposite of what Christ tells us to do. If you reflect on when he was on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they're doing." Forgive them, they're idiots. They just don't realize what is happening. And if we go to verses 9 and 10, we see that God's love comes back into our lives. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." The fact that we are followers of the Lord only comes because God loves us enough to give us such an important gift as Christ himself, was willing to sacrifice Christ for us, and that gift of love gives us everything we are and we have today. It fulfills all the promises that God has made since the beginning of creation. We are Christians today because God loved his creation so much that he provided a blood atonement, a blood sacrifice for our sins. Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet still sinners, God died for us." And the follow-on to that, everybody knows, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. But everything when we talk about love comes back to who God is. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. We are created in his image. And anyone who does not love cannot truly be held in the image of God, and as such has no saving knowledge of God himself. It's God's nature to be happy. It's God's nature to be kind. And if we look very carefully at the mountains and the valleys of our lives, it's only through our acts of sin that we find ourselves taken from joy and happiness and plunged into darkness and despair. The law of God is love. And if we had just listened to that back in the beginning, had everyone been obeyed that, this would be an entirely different world than it is right now. And the provisions of the gospel, where we learn of Christ and why and how we receive the forgiveness of sin and the salvation of sinners, are coupled consistently with God's glory and justice. And in God's glory and justice, his forgiveness shows us how much God does love us. And while there are so many mysteries and things we don't understand, there's so much darkness surrounding us, God has shown himself to be love. He has shown us that we cannot come short of eternal happiness. We miss the love and the light and the joy in our lives only when we don't believe in him. Some of the most miserable people I have ever met in my life have been people that did not believe in God. They have nothing in their lives to lift them up. Everything is darkness. Even though they may think they live in a wonderful world at times. And although strict justice would condemn us to hopeless misery because we break God's commandments, none of our words or our thoughts can do justice to the free and astonishing love of a holy God towards us as sinners. There is nothing in our relationship with God that we as humans could do to either profit or harm him. It is a one-sided relationship. He does everything for us. We can do nothing for God except to love and to have faith in him. There is not one thing we can do to benefit God. It is a one-sided relationship. If it wasn't for God's love in his justice, he could crush us at any moment, and we would deserve it. But his love shows that we were his chosen children. Again, over and over and over through our history, we have seen how we don't deserve to carry on. But he loves us and he protects us. When we stray into the darkness, he pulls us back. When we sin, he forgives us. He doesn't do that simply because he's got nothing else to do in his day. He does it because he loves us. And he wants us to succeed. He wants us to find the joy and happiness. And another sign of the great and perfect love comes through the knowledge that though he could, by his almighty word, have created other worlds with more perfect beings, he's seen fit to continue to claim us as his own children. Blessed and loved as no one else can love us. And as we search through the universe for love at its most glorious, that love is to be found in the person and in the cross of Jesus Christ. If you think for one moment, it did not hurt God to his core to see his Son die on the cross, you're wrong. He knew it had to be. He knew the loss he would go through. But he did it anyway for us. Does love exist between God and sinners? Yeah, but the whole answer to that question is not that we love God, but that he freely loves us. His love for us can never be fruitless. And as it's displayed and received by us, we ourselves become perfect in his love through no merit of our own, but only through God's grace and mercy. And in verse 11, he made it clear, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And as we follow God's example of love for us, we show our faith in action. And this is where you're going to have to think about this one. Our faith is perfected by its work and will appear that God dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. I am not saying we are saved by works. That'll never happen. What I am saying is by what we do in God's name for God to glorify God is what matters. If you do not take the faith and the love of God that he has shown it and use it to other people, what good are we? And that's very, very, very important. We are doing no more than emulating God as he should be. A loving Christian is a perfect Christian. Set that Christian to any good duty in Christ, and through God's love, we become perfect in those duties. When you do things in God's name for the period of time, you are doing that. You are perfect in God's eyes. You are following what he has called us to do. When the deacons and the pastor search committee are doing their diligence, they're working to find us the pastor that God wants us to have. That is working in perfection of God's love. All the food and the clothing that you all gave to those in need, you were perfect in God's love as you gave of yourself to others. You will never meet and you will never know. That's perfection in God's love. Love oils the wheels of God's affection. And love sets us on a trail which is helpful to our brothers and sisters. Anyone that goes about any business with ill will always does badly. We have known some pretty unkind people in our lives. And one of the biggest things we hear, how can somebody so bad seem to prosper? No. If you look at their lives, many of the rich and famous out there have no idea what's going on, and they try to find solace, they try to find meaning in their lives because they have money or they give it away to people, but there's a hollowness there because they have no idea why they're doing it. They're just doing it to make themselves look so much better. And no matter how much they try to find love, or they try to be good and they try to do good things, they're always going to fall short of their goals. They're going to fall short of the ideals they're looking for. Now, it's all important in what I've just said there to look at verse 18 carefully. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Believe in your heart that no matter what's going on around you, that God loves you, and you have the key. I will go back to this again. Humans are not worthy to truly speak of love in any form. Had not God put those words in our hearts and in our mouths. But how may we know whether everything I have said here is true and worth listening to? I'll send you back to the first 6 verses of this chapter. Look around you, ask God. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Those who are truly persuaded that they are children of God can do nothing but say, Abba, God is our Father. And because we love the Father, we hate the sin and whatever disagrees with God's will. And because of this pure love received from the Father and put inside us, we have a sound and a hearty desire to do as He directs us, as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 tells us, we love because He first loves us. The Father sent the Son. He willed Christ to come into this world. And that's exactly what John is attesting to. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God will receive God into our hearts, where He will live and reign within us, His children. That confession includes faith in the heart as the foundation. It makes acknowledgement with our mouth the glory of God in Christ, and professions in the life and conduct against any flattery or frowns of the world. And I will say this, we go out and we talk about God, we'll get sneered at and laughed at. I don't care if somebody doesn't like what I say when I talk about Christ. Their problem, not mine. God saved me from so much. He's done so much in my life that I don't deserve to be standing here right now. I don't deserve His love. I don't deserve His trust. And He's given me love. There's going to be a day of judgment. And those that have the boldness to speak out of their love of God, to accept it and hold it in their hearts, will look upon that day with joy and happiness. Not so good for everybody else. But for those who will proclaim Christ in his heart, there will be two joys. We will have thanksgiving. We will sing hallelujahs the day that Jesus comes back down to claim his own. And that's only going to happen because the true love of God assures the believers of God's love for them. Love teaches us to suffer for Him and with Him, and therefore we can trust that we will always be glorified in Him. We are called to distinguish between the fear of God and being afraid of Him. I fear God because I respect Him. I'm not afraid of God. When I am judged, I believe that I am saved despite all of my sins, because He's my heart. Obedience and good works done from the principle of love is not like a slave toiling in the field for other reasons than that is their lot in life. We sacrifice of ourselves. We go do things for other people. We take on tasks we don't understand or kind of feel a little bit funky and hard, sometimes miserable. But we do it because the one we serve loves us. And we do it because we love him and he calls us to do it. And we are devoted to him. And for all we love here on earth and in heaven, we can only give thanks and praise that we are loved by Christ. That because our Father is pure love, we as his children are given the gift of love so that we can share it with others as he has called to do us in the past. It's not an easy path, but it can be a fun path. It can push us farther than we ever knew was possible. It stretches ourselves as human beings. It stretches ourselves as Christians. But just think of everything that God has sacrificed for us over all the years of creation for one reason and one reason only. He loves us and we are his children. And can we do anything else but return that love to everyone around us and return that love to God Himself. Amen.